get it on. I think I needed that, like, just breathe, be calm, happy music. So I'm sure there's some other folks in the same situation, Davis. Thank you for that. 8:38 here on News Radio 92.3 AM 1620. I'm Andrew McKay. We're joined now by Superintendent from the Gulf Islands National Seashore, Dan Brown. Superintendent, welcome back to the Pensacola Morning News, sir.
Good morning, Andrew.
Good morning. So, first question, I know there was extensive sand and water and all of that, but give us a sense of how the park is doing.
Well, we were able to get out right after Hurricane Sally passed through and do an initial assessment. There were a lot of things, obviously, we couldn't get to or couldn't see right away. We have called in what they call a Type 2 Incident Command Team, drawing staff from a number of other national park areas across the country. And they've been arriving this week to help us complete those assessments and help remediate some of the impacts to protect some of our infrastructure, structures, and so forth. You know, one of our first priorities was Highway 399. We know how important that road is between Pensacola Beach and Navarre Beach. Fortunately, it did not get as much sand as the Fort Pickens Road did. I believe we've gotten most of that sand off the road, not the parking lots out there, but at least the road, and been able to take a look a little bit more closely at the damage. We have a highway engineer that came in yesterday, and is going to be taking a close look at that. We get our funding for road repair from Federal Highways, a program called Emergency Relief for Federally Operated Roads, or ERFO. And so this initial assessment is the most important. There is damage to the road, at least in one location, one lane. The asphalt has been significantly damaged, and we've lost probably about a mile's worth of road shoulder or bike lane interspersed along the length of the road. In some places, it's been eroded so badly that from the edge of pavement, it drops dramatically, 3 to 5 feet.
Oh, wow.
And so we're probably looking at moving some sand to those areas. You know, when we are able to get the road back open, obviously those are at-risk areas, and you can put some coning up and so forth, but we know that occasionally people are not paying attention, and, you know, you drift a few inches, and it's not a matter of just running off into the sand.
Wow.
You'd roll off the road, and we'd have a bad accident. So these are some of the things we're having to address,
I guess that's why, because I was reading the PNJ article, was really good about this, saying that, you know, the theory is you could do a one lane where you have an alternating traffic light at either end, but especially if you're talking about that kind of a danger on the side, it sounds like you don't really want to take that risk if you don't absolutely have to. So that's wow. So I guess at this point you probably don't even have a prognosis for reopening 399, or do you have one yet?
Not yet. We hope to, once we get the information back from the highway engineer about the all of the structural impacts to the road, we may be able to formulate a plan and make a decision. So in the past, in recent years, we have just left the road closed until the repairs were made to assure safety for drivers. In this case, we realize all of the other impacts that have occurred from Hurricane Sally, the damage to the Bob Sykes Bridge,
right,
the Bay Bridge being out, and what that's done to traffic patterns, and we know how important that road is. So we're evaluating all of our options, but
okay,
it's a challenge. That particular road has some unique driving characteristics to it. People tend to drive at a high rate of speed, regardless of speed limit signs,
yeah,
and law enforcement activities. Just last week before the storm, we stopped someone driving 89 miles an hour on that road.
Good God.
It, It happens, and we have a lot of DUIs in late hours in the dark too. So these are some of the things that we have to factor in with making these types of decisions.
What I mean, I know people speed on there. I just didn't realize. I guess I mean, I'm naive. But what about Fort Pickens Road? I guess it's buried. But you won't. I mean, what's the prognosis for Fort Pickens Road? Even getting the sand cleared off of it.
Well, we've tackled that three ways. We had to do a little bit of triage, and again, the first priority being Highway 399 because of its role for the community.
Sure.
We moved over to Fort Pickens Road now. We have not only our own park staff and equipment, we have a contractor working on it, and then we've drawn from heavy equipment and operators from other national park areas. We have a couple of crews down here from Great Smoky Mountains National Park. I understand that late yesterday, they had been able to punch through one lane, which is kind of the starting point, but it kind of creates a canyon through there. As you push the sand off to the side, it piles it up on either side, and then you have to redistribute all of that sand with front end loaders. So it takes a considerable amount of time. Just looking at the 4 feet of sand that are on there in years past, it has taken anywhere from, maybe 5 days to a couple of weeks to get all of the pavement uncovered so that we can then do a full assessment. In areas where it was not fully covered with sand, we've seen some road damage where the asphalt is gone. And then we've also seen some, excuse me, cracking on the road shoulders and so forth. So there are some impacts. We just don't know the extent of it yet.
I know, and you and I have talked about this, and I've talked about this with the Secretary of the Interior, and I've always been very opposed to the plan of letting Fort Pickens Road go away when there was a major storm. But I know that's kind of been one of the possible considerations. Obviously, with the ferries not running, that may change things. But does the damage to you look at this point like you're going to recommend to repair it, or what kind of is this the storm that's going to be the end of Fort Pickens Road from your perspective?
It doesn't look that way. After Hurricane Ivan, that was very, very dramatic. Not only was the roadway totally obliterated for about 4 or 5 miles, but the island was actually breached. We had water flowing between Pensacola Bay and the Gulf of Mexico, and fortunately, there was enough sand in the system that it was able to heal itself naturally and provide enough island there to reconstruct the road. We did get some breaching this time, but this time it was over on the eastern end of Perdido Key. There's actually three channels that have been cut through, and we'll have to see if those heal naturally or not. With a barrier island, there are no guarantees. Our islands over in Mississippi, Ship Island was breached, has been breached a number of times. It was last breached in 1969 by Hurricane Camille. It was starting to heal. It had about a quarter mile gap, and then Hurricane Katrina came along and widened that gap to 3.5 miles.
Wow.
And that there was not enough sand left in the system to heal that because of channel maintenance activities for the Pascagoula Shipping Channel and the placement of that dredged material in deep water outside of the lateral sand transport system. So taxpayers have just spent about a $500 million to recover that sand from deep water and fill in Camille Cut and rejoin East and West Ship Island. It's now Ship Island again. But those are some of the things you have to deal with Barrier Island. Another national seashore, Fire Island National Seashore up in New York, Superstorm Sandy breached that back in 2012. And here, 8 years later, it's still two separate islands. So,
Wow.
In the plan for the National Seashore, it says that it is the intent of the National Park Service to repair or rebuild the Fort Pickens Road after it's damaged or destroyed by storms, as long as it is feasible to do so. But this being a barrier island, natural processes may dictate what can and can't be done out there. And we're also at the mercy of available funding too. So
Right.
all of those things factor in, but we'll do what we can, and we have been. I did request an additional $2.5 million back in 2016, 2017 to relocate about a mile and a half stretch of the road away from the Gulf towards the bay. And they also tried a new design technique. They used some cellular confinement under the asphalt to try to help support that asphalt. Whenever you put a hard surface like asphalt directly on sand, that sand moves. It doesn't stay in place, and it washes out. And when it washes out from underneath either asphalt or concrete, those hardened surfaces will collapse. Looks like we've lost a number of pavilions at Opal Beach, which are concrete on solid concrete pads, and they've just collapsed because the sand underneath washed out. So that's what we have to deal with in an environment that's made up 100% of sand.
So we've heard about 399. We've heard about Fort Pickens Road. We knew about Johnson Beach, but it's still, I mean, it's the pictures are amazing to see that having those cuts in it so that you can't even walk out to the point anymore, even if you're inclined to do so. We just did that with my family and I did not that long ago. The last question I wanted to ask you about is the ferries. I know they were damaged. I saw them getting the one put back in the water. Do we have any prognosis of how long for those, as we're talking about other ferry service, obviously, in our area? Do we know what's going on with the ferries and the docking?
Well, they did, get lifted up out of the water and in being set back down on riprap and bulkhead railings and so forth, the hulls did take some damage. They've made some temporary patches, and they're being towed over to a shipyard at Bayou La Batterie, Alabama, and they are repairable. The damage was moderate and can be repaired. Until they get them over to the shipyard, we won't have exact timelines and cost estimates. Probably a couple of months or so to get them repaired. And normally the ferry service, it's a seasonal operation, March
sure.
through October. So, kind of puts an end to it for this operating season. And the hope, obviously, would be to have things up and running by next March again. But I know the community has been talking about another temporary type of transportation, ferry transportation, between the peninsula and the islands and the mainland for people needing to get back and forth to work. And I'm part of that conversation as well.
Yeah, I was going to ask you, I know there was a kind of a summit. I've been calling it the Ferry Summit that took place, I guess, yesterday, and there's supposed to be another one tomorrow is what Janice Gilley told us. Is it going to be a Department of the Interior that's going to be supplying the ferries themselves? I mean, where are we at with that? Since those ones are out of commission for a while, I know there are other assets that you might have available kind of what's the role for the Gulf Island Seashore in this?
Well, I'll let you get that information directly from Janice Gilley, since she kind
okay.
of coordinated and facilitated the meeting.
Fair enough.
The National Park Service was invited, as was Hornblower, HMS, that operates our ferry service. And there's was a lot to talk about, and we'll continue to meet until they find some solutions for that.
All right, very good. I will accept the deferral. Dan Brown, he is the superintendent of the Gulf Islands National Seashore. A lot of stuff to deal with. I appreciate you working on it, and thanks for taking some time out of your busy day to kind of keep our listeners informed. Dan, thank you so much. We'll talk to you again soon. Best of luck getting things repaired.
Thanks, Andrew. You're welcome.